Yuma. It's the O for Fun podcast, brought to you by Celex 2020 and Pert Plus. Ooh, Teresa. Ooh.
Hi.
Hello. This is our first ever hands-free episode of the O for Fun podcast.
We're getting technological. Yeah,
we have mic stands that the microphones go into, and we no longer have to use our hands.
Big
like
business.
Chumps.
Like chumps and chumpettes.
Oh, I prefer the just chumps as describes all genders.
I feel like that's fine, too.
But I'd prefer to be the chumpette, I guess, too.
Okay. Either way.
Sounds classier.
It kind of does. Mm-hmm. Fancier.
Yep.
So, go for football. It's coming up. Woohoo!
Go for football. Yeah.
Yeah. Do you prefer Gopher football or Vikings football?
Gopher.
Yeah, me too. Why?
I don't know. But college is just better.
They try harder.
I mean, the only reason I care about professional football is fantasy football.
That's fair.
I have money on it.
Right.
But, I went to the University of Minnesota, so there's, Allegiance, and I've been watching those games, whole life pretty much. So, I don't know.
Yeah.
It's more fun.
I agree. Yeah. Where do you fall on the argument of they should or should not get paid?
I think they should get paid. I don't know if individual players should get paid, but they should be given some sort of at least a stipend, because they go to school, they devote, it's a full-time job being an athlete in college, and then they have to go to school, which is another full-time job.
But what if they're on an athletic scholarship?
Still, that covers their basics, but they're still they don't get money for food or to go out and have fun or stuff like that. So
true.
We don't need to make them millionaires, but no. Schools are making plenty of money off of them, so why can't they get a
true.
Little bit?
Yeah. I don't know. I have no opinion about it whatsoever.
Have one.
I know. I'm sorry. I try, but I can't. So who's on the team this year that we should be keeping our eye on?
No idea.
Okay. Me neither. I'm going to ask my 8-year-old, though, because he probably will know. And he'll probably bring up old player. He's amazingly aware of what's going on at 8 years old. He doesn't really enjoy playing sports so much, but he knows a lot about him. So I'm kind of hoping that we can have him join us for maybe a rendition of the Rouser one of these times.
Definitely.
Mm-hmm.
Child labor is the best.
It is. It is. Especially when you really don't have to pay them at all. You can pay them in ice cream.
Ice cream? Mm-hmm. I like ice cream. I get paid in ice cream.
Do you?
I would.
Okay.
For certain things.
Yeah. So it occurred to me previously that I think I've referred to you on this podcast as Beers.
Probably.
And sometimes John. And that's a little confusing, but both of them are your names.
Same person.
It is the same person. And I just wanted to clarify that because someday someone we don't know might listen to part of this.
Maybe.
And be confused. And I don't want that. So I just wanted to clarify that is the same person. Do you have any other nicknames?
Sure. I don't know. Beers or Beersies the most often.
Uh-huh.
But I like how we've left this to episode 4. So people are just going to have to be confused for 3.
Yeah, I think that just proves the point that you got to really stick with this to get what you need out of it.
Yeah, yeah. Keep listening.
Yeah.
We're not those people did you see that? I think it was a New York Times article about this guy and girl started a podcast, an advice podcast, and they did it for 6 episodes, then quit because the money wasn't rolling in thought it.
Yeah, that's not really a thing unless you're Dax Shepard.
Yeah, I doubt he probably makes some money, but I don't think it would be considered lucrative.
I don't know. I don't know, but if Dax Shepard wants to tell us and say hi, that'd be super cool.
Yeah, right into the show, Dax.
Right, please do. But anyway, so you don't have any quirky nicknames given to you by your mom when you were a little boy? Did she call you Peanut?
Not that I remember.
Mm. My mom called me Gooby Lutige, which makes no sense.
I think Johnny, that was probably
it. Yeah.
Johnny B, we're friends, parents.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I don't really have any good nicknames, except in high school I was known as T.O. because that was my initials. And I had a good friend who was also Teresa, and so we went by our initials. And so a lot of people still call me T.O., even though those are no longer my initials, because it just feels right.
Yeah, and it's better than T.B.
It is, because that kind of invokes an image of, you know, the consumption. Yeah. Yeah. So anyway, I also was interested in talking about pizza today.
I love pizza. It's one of my favorite topics, and I have strong opinions about pizza.
Okay. In general, what are your strongest opinions about pizza?
I like most of it.
Okay. St. Louis style pizza.
Okay. Yeah. So we had this at, I think it was Emo's in St. Louis.
I do not remember the name of this establishment, but good for you.
And it was us, your husband, and John Sable.
Sable. Yeah. Uh-huh.
And I recall the three of you not liking it.
It was terrible.
Like, given the option between St. Louis style and something else, I will go something else. But I had no problem eating it. Provol cheese is kind of weird.
Right. It was the provolone that got me because it was like glue in there.
Because it's not provolone. It's like the American cheese version of provolone. Mm. It's called Provol.
Oh.
Yeah. P-R-O-V-E-L.
I didn't know there was a difference, and I thought it was just provolone.
Oh, yeah. And it's some sort of weird, like, cheese whizzy type difference.
Okay. You have a fantastic memory for this somehow.
It's because I think about it often.
Okay.
And I saw recently on Twitter, Jason Isbell just like tweeted about how one of his favorite things about going to St. Louis is getting St. Louis style pizza, which I don't know about. I would probably choose barbecue over St. Louis style pizza.
Yeah.
But,
yeah,
you know, when in St. Louis.
So I don't know the origins of St. Louis style pizza, but there is apparently a thing, which is like many specific kinds of pizza, kind of divisive. What about, like, I don't really know what the difference is between Chicago-style pizza, New York-style pizza. Is it just, does that just mean deep dish?
No. So Chicagoans would actually say that their Chicago pizza is just thin crust cut in squares. Like, similar to St. Louis-style without the provol. Yeah. Because, like, when you cut it in squares, some people refer to it as a party cut, but I've always known it as the Chicago cut. And they say, like, deep dish is for tourists.
Oh.
But deep dish is still delicious. I love deep dish.
For sure. I guess I just thought that the square cut was just square cut.
No.
I didn't realize that was a Chicago thing.
They at least claim it. I don't know the origins. Okay. I don't know if it actually goes back to them. And then New York is like, I don't know. It's confusing because I've had a lot of different things that have been dubbed New York style pizza. And I think as far as it's like a, obviously, a bigger slice, a little bit thinner, but still has the crust on the end, and it's good for folding. You should fold it in half. Yeah.
Okay, so basically, Sbarro.
Yeah.
Okay. So even though I do kind of rag on the St. Louis style pizza, it's still pizza. Yeah. I'm going to eat it, which then brings me to the question, is there bad pizza, really?
I mean, assuming you aren't, like, screwing it up somehow in the cooking process, like, I would say no.
That's true, because I was at a sleepover as a child once where we made our own pizzas because it was, like, the fun activity at the sleepover. And it was fun, but then none of them actually got cooked, and that was bad pizza.
Yeah, yeah. As long as, you know, the crust is cooked through and the toppings are warm and melty, cheese, whatever, I'd say it's not bad pizza.
Is there extraordinarily good pizza? Like, what makes pizza really good? Is it just the combination of toppings? Because probably my favorite pizza is pizza luce, baked potato.
I would say, in my opinion, sauce and crust is most important to making a pizza, to like being really good. Because like obviously you can get better like sausage and vegetables. Obviously, like, I like mushrooms on pizza, and so if canned mushroom between like a fresh mushroom, fresh is definitely better.
Yeah, it's both kind of gross, but okay.
Mushrooms are good. They have fiber.
Fungus. Do they have fiber? Okay, good to know.
I think so.
Anyways, well, I think that's all I have to say about pizza.
I have plenty more to say, but we don't need to go on. This isn't the pizza podcast.
Okay. Another day.
Yeah.
All right. Well, then let's just move along with a word from our sponsor, CellX 2020.
Pizza.
You've got a phone, and it does a lot, right? Calendar, email, games, social media. It's even a mobile charging station. But what else can it do? The CellX 2020 does it all. Imagine a phone that is also a multi-use tool, that is also a soap dispenser, and a mini stove. My brother thought his phone was so sophisticated. I mean, yeah, it could take amazing panoramic pictures, but could it suture a wound? During our rugged hike on the Superior National Trail, he realized he should have gotten a CellX 2020. I Googled emergency first aid, and with the help of my CellX 2020, I could perform minor surgery right then and there. Whatever you need, the CellX 2020 has got you covered. It's got all the sophisticated functions of those other phones, but when you need to make dinner, the CellX 2020 is the only phone that can open a can and run the battery hard enough to heat the contents to a safe for consumption temperature. Don't forget to wash your hands. The CellX 2020 holds a mini pump to fill with your favorite cleanser and a small but powerful motor that blows hot air from the headphone jack for drying. A phone with every imaginable function will make your life more fun, more efficient, and more fancy. Yes, you do need the CellX 2020. Because you never know when you'll need to freshen up with a spritz of cologne while using your tire iron attachment.
CellX 2020. Great phones. Yeah. Superb. Phenomenal.
No contract either, so that's kind of nice.
Yep, no contract, no bills.
Yeah.
No idea amazing. How they make money. But
I don't know. So we are going to introduce something new.
New.
It's called Unnecessary Sequels.
Yes.
So the very wonderful films that you viewed on previous occasions, what if a sequel was made? Are they necessary? It's up to you. You can decide. But we're going to do one for you.
Yeah, and this first one is particularly special because they've already made a couple sequels to it.
True.
Maybe even three sequels.
I don't even know.
And that brings up the question, were any of them necessary? Was the first one necessary?
Well, here we go. This one is 50 Shades Plus One. They were strangers from different worlds, then lovers with a shared secret. They saved each other from their respective chaste and sordid pasts and freed each other from a lifetime of monotonous, vanilla marital relations. But was it free enough? Dear Mr. Gray, I wish to inform you that I've tired of the usual right-handed lashings. I hope you do not take offense, but I need to go in a different direction. If you are unable to fulfill this request, I will be seeking a southpaw. Signed, Mrs. Gray.
Dear Mrs. Gray, your request has been noted. Expanding our partnership to include a plus one would be my pleasure and yours. Signed, Mr. Gray.
When bondage becomes bland, there's always a next step. Coming to select theaters soon, not yet rated.
I'm going to go ahead and say I'll see that one. It's the only necessary one, yeah.
Okay, okay.
Although, what would the 51st shade be?
Smoke?
I'll accept it.
Fog?
I like the idea of fog being a color.
Mm-hmm.
Let's go with fog.
Okay. It's fog.
It seems the thing to do nowadays is to combine two words in order to make up a new ridiculous one. Pert Plus is no stranger to the combination game. We've been putting shampoo and conditioner in one bottle for years now. However, shampishioner resonates like nails on a chalkboard in an echoey canyon-type place. And a canyon, if you will. Okay, making up words isn't our thing, but hair care is. Pert Plus, hair, not words.
And now, it's time for your welcome, Love, Minnesota.
1981. Sandra Day O'Connor is the first woman to be appointed to the U.S. Supreme Court. The first American test tube baby is born. MTV is launched. And the first iteration of Sven and Oli's graces the North Shore town of Grand Marais, Minnesota. Entrepreneurial brothers, Sid and Terry Backlund, opened a small food stand that summer, and to their surprise, it was hugely successful. They doubled their working space the following year and just kept expanding from there. Now they've got a large dining room and an annex called the Pickled Herring Pub, because of course. The establishment has moved from serving such food stand classics as nachos, popcorn, and hot dogs to mainly pizza, for which Svenanoli's is all but a legend. And like most legends, some people are on board and some are not. Like Bigfoot or Zelda. Except it's not the existence of the pizza that's in question. The pizza is a very real greasy blob in the gut. No, the question is the quality of the pizza. Some reviewers will say it's the absolute worst, but to them, we have to ask, hey, have you met pizza before? Like, isn't the worst pizza the best pizza? Have you not thrown a Jack's or a Tombstone in the oven after a night of debauchery and known in your very bones that that pizza was a precious gift? Those who do understand pizza agree that Svenanoli's isn't even about the pizza. Yes, you go there, you order a pie with too much cheese and not enough toppings, you sprinkle some extra Parmesan on there and wonder if it's really okay to leave Parmesan out on the tables indefinitely. It's just like almost any other pizza dive. But when you're at Svenanoli's, you're supporting a local mom-and-pop shop. Or, in this case, a brother-and-brother shop. You're dining with tourists who want to experience the legend, but you're also dining with locals who don't have stars in their eyes about it. They just like it there. You get ambiance that comes only with an eclectic mix of decor that includes taxidermy, lumberjack tools, a sombrero, and some sled dog racing bibs, because that's probably how some of the clientele got there. Now, don't be intimidated by the proximity of Svenanoli's to the Canadian border. If you pay attention even a little, you'll notice that as long as you're within 400 miles of Grand Marais, someone in your line of sight has made the trek to the legendary pizzeria. They probably have the evidence on their car bumper. So, gas up and head out for the pizza place we love, or love to hate, the most. Bumper sticker optional. You're welcome. Love, Minnesota.
Teresa, I have not been to Svenanoli's.
That is blasphemous.
Is their pizza good?
I think it's fine.
It's fine.
It's pizza.
Yeah. And you mentioned Jack's and Tombstone in there.
I did.
So an interesting thing about pizza, particularly frozen pizza, there are like three companies who own everything.
Ooh,
so like Bernatello's, they have Bernatello's. I think they have Roma. They have Bellatoria. They have Lots of Matza. And then the other one, Kraft, is obviously huge.
Kraft.
They own like everything else. And then there's some like independent ones in there that I'm sure will eventually be purchased by those other two.
Right. You do know a lot about pizza.
It's a favorite.
So I would say probably the most frequently cited bumper sticker in this area is a Svenanoli's bumper sticker.
Definitely.
I am of the opinion that you should never, never put a bumper sticker on your car.
Agreed.
Unless it's a Svenanoli's bumper sticker. I'm fine with that.
No, I'm anti-bumper sticker in general.
Okay.
Like window decals, that's okay because those are easily removed. They're not for me. I'm just saying I think you're kind of desecrating vehicles when you put stickers like that on them. Unless it somehow classes up the joint. I don't know.
And I feel like Svenanoli's kind of does that.
Or it has to be super funny.
Well, it better be really funny, because if I'm reading it while I'm driving and you are putting me in danger because I'm reading while I'm driving, it better be funny.
Yeah. Dangerous.
Yeah. Okay. Otherwise, I think the consensus is no bumper stickers.
Yeah.
Okay. I'm glad we're in agreement on that. So I think that's it before we go, other than the fact that we still don't know how we know Britney Spears. I think we do know her.
Yes.
We were trying to figure out how many degrees away we were.
Yeah, we said this towards the end of the last episode, so perhaps you didn't tune in long enough. But we were asking, so like the 6 degrees of separation of Kevin Bacon thing, we want you to do that for us to Britney Spears.
Right. So in the spirit of continuing that quest, the noble quest, if you would share this podcast and hashtag Britney Spears, because I know she's on Instagram.
Also hashtag O for Fun Podcast.
Totes. And then we can someday, somehow figure out how we do know Britney Spears. Cause I am quite confident that we do.
Yeah. And if you're somehow one of those people that don't know us personally, tell us how you know Britney Spears, and then we can know you to knowing Britney Spears.
I see how this is working. Excellent.
That's how you do it in the business.
The business. What
the
business?
The podcasting business.
Oh, right.
And also regarding this Britney Spears thing, I don't know if our listeners have checked out the social medias, but I think you're doing a great job with it. I am very lazy with it, but you're doing good.
Thank you.
And I must commend you on the use of bozos.
Bozos?
Yeah, you said, how do these bozos know Britney Spears? Something like that, anyway.
Oh, well, yeah. I mean, I had to think of a word to describe us. And yeah,
I thought it was great. Yeah. You don't see bozos enough.
You don't. Do you remember Bozo the Clown had a show?
Yes.
It was a game show.
Yeah, watched it.
What was that called? It was great.
Isn't it just like Bozo the Clown or something?
Maybe. But it was maybe one of my favorite game shows, only surpassed by Family Feud.
Yeah. I only really remember one game from it, though, and it was like, you had a line, and there were buckets in the line.
Classic carnival game.
And then you
had
to throw, you know, a ping pong ball or something into the buckets. So it's basically beer pong, but with prizes.
Yeah.
Instead of beer.
That's a really good point. Yeah. I mean, I maintain that most things that are for kids are actually created by adults who are on drugs.
Yep.
Muppets.
Ooh, very much. You know Jim Henson was all about something LSD, probably.
Mind expanding.
I have another thought about pizza.
Babies. Okay, yeah.
So here's the thing. Pizza, just basic pizza. It is crust, sauce, and cheese. That is pizza. So when you order pizza, you do not need to specify that you want cheese on it.
Yeah, who does that? That's weird.
A lot of people. It's annoying. And the other thing is, if you're going to get like a half something, half cheese, just say, I want half pepperoni. You don't need to, I know from there.
Because it's the template.
Right.
The cheese is part of the template. Yeah.
And if you're a place out there that is making people add cheese to their basic crust and sauce, you need to go to hell. You go to hell right now.
Ooh, okay.
Sorry.
Ooh, okay.
Got a little heated there.
Yeah.
Wow. Well, that's all, if you didn't tell.
Yeah.
Thanks to people who did songs and things that we're going to be using in the editing. We don't know what those are yet.
We don't know what those are.
So we're not going to thank them. We'll thank them
in the credits.
The credits.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Well. I